you have questions or yes, or want to discuss or whatever. Yeah.
Has he had a positive impact on the, for lack of a better term, the proper writing of Iceland or the...
The serious novel.
The serious novel, yeah.
Yeah, in many ways. I mean, he is a good writer. And his prose is... he publishes one novel a year, so once sometimes you read it and say, oh boy, he should have spent another 3 months on this. And but in general, and as the... as his work unfolds, he's really good. You know, this is like a major athlete. You know, he's always in the training boot camp. You know, keeping himself in shape. So, in that sense, he's a good writer. So that puts him into the writing of major writer. He I think his success has had influence on people who are more. Who have already made their mark as authors of not minor literature, of proper literature, and for example, a writer called Soren Erdlevaltimarstotir, who wrote a series of novels, three I think, where she kind of uses the plot of the sagas, puts in a crime, and stages it in modern Iceland, and that works pretty well. I don't know.
Has he opened the doors for other authors to go into English?
Oh yes, absolutely. I think that, in that sense, and that was on one of my slides. I really think that that the interest that editors, publishers all over the world that hear about Iceland, the buzz around Icelandic literature, are more willing to publish Icelandic writers, serious writers, after that. And I'm sure this hasn't been the case. In France, I know the book market there a little bit, and I know that Arna the Success has opened doors for other writers. And actually, it's not, you know, not many people speak Icelandic, and not many people are capable of translating from Icelandic to other languages. And so, for example, one of the great modern translators of Icelandic literature, he makes his living translating Erlendur, but then he translates other more serious writers, and is a very good translator. And he wouldn't be so good if he could. Because in the French system, you get the translator also profits from the sales and so on. So, yes, he has a good effect on Icelandic literature. Absolutely.
Is the other book being translated into English?
Konungsbók. I don't know. I think it should. It's fun. It's been translated into French, it's been translated into German, and so on. Not yet. But I don't know if the publisher has any plans of doing it. It contains a lot of information also about, it's a nice, interesting, fun way to learn a bit about what these poems were about the importance of these manuscripts and how they traveled from Iceland and into Denmark and then were sent back to Iceland. And the interest also, the Nazis were really interested in this stuff because they believed that this was showed the Germanic races were really better than others and kind of misused these texts, so it's about the history of that too. So it's a book. I think it should be translated. Yes.
Does any of his novels, Arnlandur's, lose anything in the translation? Any nuances because of the Icelandic language?
I haven't studied that. So I the most honest answer was I don't know. I haven't studied it. But I know that the translators that he has used, the first translator, Bernard Skudder, who regrettably passed away, is an excellent translator. And he's also a translator of the sagas, so he would have been well aware of any puns or things like that. But then it's also, you know, things are always lost in translation. The best translators know that. Yes.
Does the Icelandic government encourage and subsidize Icelandic novels to go in English or other languages?
Well, Arnaldur doesn't need to be subsidized, and in Leisure's fighting for
publishers. Okay.
But other, yes, there is a fund, especially the Icelandic Literary Fund, which subsidizes the publication of and translation of Icelandic works abroad. And Icelandic writers receive money from the state. You know, they apply and they get a stipend. Not much, but it helps. It keeps literature alive. Yes?
My question is, has Erland your seen your presentation?
Say that again?
Has he seen your presentation? The author.
But I'm writing an article, so you might read it at one point. But I'm not trying to pry into it, you know, the inner workings of the psyche, and but I think that great writers communicate with their readers on many levels, and good storytellers do that too. They tell a story, they keep the reader entertained, and so on. But they're also talking about the things we can't really talk about and are maybe more or less aware of, and such as emotional turmoil, conflicted feelings towards our parents, and so on. So I don't mind if he listens to my presentation.
No,
I don't think he would be offended by it.
No, sure.
But no one has really connected all the dots as I'm trying to do. He talks about fathers that abandon their children, disrupted families. He is following his father's footsteps. He's writing about the same thing that his father was writing about as a younger man, but his father didn't have the medium of the mystery novel. But he's actually dealing with the same things, which is how Icelandic society changed when people moved from the countryside to the city. And so he is his father in many ways. And I think that losing his father, becoming successful, and starting to do something that he kept hidden from his father for a long time, that's becoming him, must have entailed all kinds of emotional turmoil in that. And like a good artist, he feeds that into his art, and that's why it is so appealing to us.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yes?
I have an easy question. Why is that book called Jar City?
Why is it called Jar City? Aha. Okay,
I can talk about my book.
Well, I've already destroyed
the
book for you.
You've already destroyed
it.
Yeah.
But
I think the photo helps.
Yes,
exactly.
I was thinking that.
It's called Jar City because, and this is how he uses, you know, this is how he uses things from reality that people know of, that people talk about, or so on, that feeds into his work and with this you know, reality effect that I was talking about. There, in the University of Iceland had an Institute of Pathology, or still has, in a room there for a long time, there was a collection of organs, human organs. You had, my father worked there. My father was a pathologist, and he worked there. When I was a kid, and when I visited my father, I would go into that room. And so you had, you know, hands and organs and fetuses and half a head. I wonder who that was. And so on. This was known all over the city, and people talked about it, and it was called the City of Jars because they were all kept in jars. Krukkuborg. that's why the name. But the title in Icelandic is different. It's meeting. It means the marsh, and it's the name of a neighborhood in Reykjavik where it's built on a marsh. And so it's very wetland. It's wetland, and the ground is sinking. Mm-hmm. And if you walk around there, you can see that, you know, you need to bring a truckload of soil once in a while, because otherwise you can see the foundation, and that feeds into the plot of the story. But I won't tell you what that is about. So you know, there are things to discover. Yes?
I'm very curious about way back in 1909 when you were the first writer, I forget his name.
Johan Bjarnason.
Right.
About the Sherlock Holmes, yeah.
What was his character called?
I can't remember.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I just
sorry about that. But I think
he had to have a wonderful name.
This must have been translated. Johan Bjarnason, were they translated into English? I'm sure they were. Must have been.
I don't think only the errand boy.
Trish, do you know that?
No, I don't.
Flavia
doesn't know.
No.
It's a mystery.
Well, we need a Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. <That's very serious.
laughs> Or ask you for hope.
Are we
there? Well, I'm ready to answer more questions if there are any, but we can stop and just chat a bit, and
yeah,
maybe there's
okay.
Some more coffee left.
All right, so closing, August, thank you once again.
Thank you.